Just thinking tonight about a different word that I've kind of saw in the book of Proverbs several times and looked it up and saw the other times that it was mentioned as well. Wanted to be a blessing to us tonight. But it's a word in translated in our Bibles. It's the word happy. And I know that this is the middle of the week and we're already in the fifth or sixth week of school and nobody's happy. But I know that we have a lot of definitions of the word happy. But in the Hebrew here in the Old Testament, it's the idea of a person being prosperous or continuing literally, it's kind of going straight forward. Or a happy person is one, considering the Bible's definition, that's going to pursue a path straight forward, is going to be prosperous, and it's more of a spiritual happiness that we're talking about that the Bible emphasizes. Even in the book of Proverbs, with even in some ways with wisdom being a practical application to find success in that as well. But the Bible's definition of, if you want to say the word prosperity, I know that's kind of a unique word today that is widely defined. But the Bible's definition of happy or prosperity or the word blessed is also used in the Bible to define happiness. Happy is the man, blessed is the man. And it's kind of more in the area of a spiritual happiness, a spiritual prosperity through the Lord. And I wanted to look at some different passages tonight from the book of Proverbs specifically that give us some different areas that can spiritually strengthen us to continue in that way, to know that blessing and that prosperity. But as we, you know, confront or think of man's definition of happiness, it's always a lot different than what the Bible would say it is. Man has their own ways of what they think brings prosperity or the things that they have that would make someone happy, the different pursuits and successes of life that are so encouraged by different people. I remember when I was a kid, sometimes my dad and I, we got home from church on Sunday night and we'd watch TBN. Anybody know what TBN is? I know we kind of watched it for fun, I guess. I don't know if that's bad or not, but we kind of watched it for fun just to see what was going on. Maybe we shouldn't have, I don't know. But we always kind of, it was interesting, needless to say, to watch some of the different preachers and especially some of the charismatic type preachers that emphasize prosperity in a very worldly or physical way. That, you know, if you are really a person of faith and if you, you know, send in this special offering to me through TBN and go out in the morning, you're going to have a Cadillac in your driveway. You know, you'll have a blessing in your job tomorrow. You're going to get a bonus and all these physical things that, you know, we would watch and people, you know, they encourage people to send in this money. We'll send you this prayer handkerchief and it's going to totally revolutionize your life and you're going to be wealthy. And that's their definition of success, you know, wealth and cars and all those things. And then if you call the preacher back and say, hey, I got that handkerchief and I lost my job. Oh, well, brother, you didn't believe. You didn't have faith, you know. And they have all those different kind of reasonings that they do. That's our world's definition of prosperity. It's a physical definition. What do you own? What do you have? What material possessions belong to you and your family, perhaps? But as you think about what the Bible says blessings are, what the Bible says happiness is, it's a little bit different and it's kind of shocking to the world. So we'll start right there in the book of Matthew because one of the key passages in the Bible that we think of course, is the Beatitudes in chapter 5 of Matthew. And if you think about these different Beatitudes in chapter 5, of course, the word blessed are or blessed is, it's the idea again of that happiness, that prosperity, spiritually speaking, according to the Bible's definition. But you know, a person of the world or a person with a non-spiritual mindset would look at the Beatitudes and say, boy, that's really not the way to be blessed. Verse number 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, that's not what I want to be. You know, I want to be rich in spirit. Or verse 4, blessed are they that mourn. Well, that's what's happy about mourning? You know, what in the world is Christ saying here? Verse 5, blessed are the meek. We got to be humble and we can't be proud and that's supposed to bring us prosperity and success. Or blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, not after material things. Or blessed are the merciful, the pure in heart, or the peacemakers, and those that are persecuted and reviled. How in the world is that supposed to be happiness? And so Christ is confronting here what the culture's definitions of things are. And it's something contrary to what we normally think or what our society likes to place on us. So if you go up to the book of Proverbs, we're going to start in chapter number 3. And I want to look at 6 different areas in the book of Proverbs tonight that is based on this contrarian definition that Christ spoke of. It's different than what you would think it is. You know, blessings for being persecuted, blessings and happiness for having it the hard way with reviling and all these things that we don't like to go through physically in our flesh. And yet the Lord says that's the pathway to happiness, spiritual success, spiritual prosperity. So we'll start in Proverbs chapter 3 tonight. And we're just going to quickly look at some verses that have to do with this word happy. They're all in the Hebrew, the same word, and they have that idea again of going straight forward, continuing on, or prospering in your life. What kind of things will cause your life as a person to prosper? Again, our minds are no doubt full of the world's definitions of what it is to prosper. You know, you've got a certain type of house, you've got a certain type of job, a certain type of income, certain vehicles to drive, and all those type of things, like, you know, 96 Ford Rangers and things like that. That's or any Ranger, right, Pop? That's a great success in life. You know, Brian's got a 92 Ranger. We got the little Ranger Club going on here. But the world has its definitions of what successes are. And most of the time, if you notice, their definitions are based on things. They're based on the flesh. They're based on materialism. And here the Bible is going to tell us that if you want to be prosperous, then don't think of the materialistic things. Think of the spiritual things that are going to be mentioned here in this book. First of all, in chapter 3, verse number 13 and 18, refer to happiness through the same avenue. We'll look at them separately. Verse number 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, or has the ability to obtain understanding out of different situations. So the first way that happiness can come to our life is by finding or pursuing and gaining wisdom to attain and arrive at. There's an effort that we want to have wisdom in our life. And we've spoken about this before, or the ability to discern right and wrong. The ability to have wisdom, to be able to apply knowledge properly. We preached a message several weeks ago about this wisdom, that it comes from God. If you want to know happiness, then find wisdom. Find the ability to discover right versus wrong. The ability to have a mindset to distinguish between those things. And that standard comes again from God's Word. That's able to get understanding, to mine and dig to find understanding. Of course, as believers, we're going to be happy as we dig into this book. We're going to be a happy, a prosperous, spiritually successful person when we dig into God's Word and find wisdom. It's a spiritual emphasis. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Again, our world is searching for a variety of things, and they think they come up with their own standards of right and wrong, and what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. And it seems that in our society in America here today, people are so proud to think they know what they should do. And you shouldn't tell them anything different. Wisdom says, I'm going to put aside what I want to do and what I think is right and wrong, and I'm going to find my standard for those things from God's Word. That's wisdom. That's getting the understanding. And if you want to know spiritual happiness or success, it starts with God's Word, finding wisdom, gaining the wisdom from God's Word, being able to discern and apply knowledge. It's one thing to know a variety of things about the Bible. You know, there's been many people before. My dad and I, again, we watched TBN a lot more than I thought we did when I was a kid, but it was kind of a nightly ritual. And we used to watch these preachers that could literally almost memorize the entire Bible. I mean, you could ask a verse and they'd spout it off or whatever it was. They had a lot of knowledge about the Bible, but how were they applying those type of things? What kind of standards resulted from their knowledge of God's Word? That is what wisdom is about, being able to apply it biblically. Look down at verse number 18. Not only, first of all, is a happy man that finds wisdom, but secondly, and closely related, of course, to verse 13, in verse number 18, continuing to talk about wisdom, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. You're going to find life in wisdom. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. Talking about wisdom again. So secondly, not only those that happiness in finding wisdom, but happiness as well in retaining wisdom, in continuing to hold firm to God's Word and God's standards that you've believed from His Word. To hold fast, to support is the idea of the word retain. To hold fast to what God has taught you through His Word. You know, when you come to decisions and come to things from God's Word that you've learned, hold fast to them. Don't allow the culture and different voices and the temptation of the flesh is to go the easy way, to go the route of least resistance. But holding fast to God's Word, retaining wisdom is what this passage is talking about. Finding it in God's Word, that was verse 13, but then holding on to it, retaining it. That is a path of happiness. Now, our world doesn't believe, again, that happiness starts with that. That's biblical and God's Word and God. We don't want to start with that. We want to find happiness by satisfying ourselves, by looking for things in the world to satisfy our desires. But the Bible here is saying, you want to be happy. You want to know what it is to be successful spiritually. Start with the wisdom of God's Word by applying the knowledge properly. Let's move on now to chapter number 14. As we continue to look at these passages related to wisdom. Chapter number 14, or related to happiness, I should say. We looked at verse chapter 3 was finding wisdom and retaining wisdom. That's a way to happiness. Chapter 14, verse number 21. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. A person that isn't an oppressive person, a person that does not look down on the needy and oppress them, it's having mercy on them or care. I believe that this comes from an inner heart of pride, of thinking that we're so much better than other people and than everyone else, and looking down and despising and not having mercy on the poor. That's not the way of success. You know, our world, again, thinks, I've got to go down this path to be successful. So if I have to step on people and smash people and run over people and oppress people to get there, then that's okay. It's kind of a pragmatic philosophy. The Bible here, though, is saying you're not going to find happiness that way. By letting your pride destroy other people to seek some success that the world has promised you to have. But it is coming from an inner heart of kindness and affection is the idea of the word mercy here in the Hebrew. A kindness and affectionate, a display of even pity to other people. That is to be happy and to be prosperous. Again, the world thinks, well, you can't, you know, don't show mercy. You get in there and be cutthroat and do what you want to do and gain whatever you can to have your successes. But the world's way is not God's way. This way of happiness spiritually is to treat other people the right way. To treat them the way the Bible would have you to be. That is a life of happiness. That's a life of prosperity that's contrary to what the world would believe. Go over to chapter 16, verse number 20. Here's another way to find happiness spiritually. Verse number 20 of chapter 16. He that handleth a matter wisely, again, there's the application of wisdom, shall find good. And you know, to handle matters wisely is something that the Lord can allow you to come to as you cross different decisions and different situations that you don't even know about, that the Lord pray and ask Him to help you to apply this knowledge that you have. Yes, you can know God's Word. You can know what you should do. But many times, you know, you forget. You ever been through a situation and you think at the end, boy, I should have done this instead, or I wish I had thought to say this, or I wish I had worded it this way. And it's easy for us to forget those things and get all confused in our minds. But the Lord can help us to handle a matter wisely, to understand the depths of the matter and to find good. But notice at the end of verse 20, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. When these decisions and these matters that we have to handle, that we have to try to understand come up, when we trust the Lord in them, that is the way to success. The idea is that to put hope and confidence in God. I know it is very easy for us, and I know I speak for myself for sure, when we have a lot going on, it's easy to not look at the Lord and trust Him. It's easy to get bogged down with all the things that are going on and all our duties, our responsibilities, how busy we are, the things we have coming up, and we get to focus on, well, I've got to do this, and we forget that if I want to know success in these matters, then it's got to be by trusting the Lord, by what God can do. It's much more prosperous for us. It's much more happy and blessed spiritually when we, as they say many times, let go and let God do things. Let God take over our lives and control things. Whoso trusteth in the Lord in those situations, in the things that come up in our hearts, happy is that person. To know a spiritual blessing because we're trusting in God. You know, there's many times we say the arm of flesh will fail you. It's definitely true. When we begin to trust in our own or think we can handle all things all by ourselves, we've got it under control, and then the Lord will bring something in and just kind of crush us down a little bit and show us, well, you can't really handle it, and you need to trust me in this situation. It's easy to, even when you get busy with the school year and all kinds of things going on, and you've got your activities, and you've got school accreditation coming up, and big projects due, and it's easy for me many times to get kind of in a little panic about that and not think, you know what, Lord, I want to have success spiritually in this. I'm going to trust you for it. I'm going to trust on you, rely on you to get through, to find the wisdom to apply it, to get the good, to find the good in verse number 20, because we trusted in the Lord. Good comes from things, even when we don't understand them. And it's hard physically for us to see through the matter that we're trying to handle and trying to find the good in the matter. But when we give it over to the Lord and rest in Him, boy, what blessings come that are eternal. That's happiness. That's spiritual blessings and prosperity in our Lord. Let's move on then to chapter 28. Just a couple more that we'll look at tonight in our short message. Chapter 28. Let's look at verse number 14. Just two more. Let's actually start at verse number 13. Again, we see a word there that's very closely related to happiness. He that covereth his sins shall not what? Prosper. There's no happiness there. You know, you may think you're getting away with something and it feels kind of good and, oh, this is working out great. I'm having success. But one day, those things, if you don't confess and forsake them, you're not going to have mercy. There's no long-term spiritual prosperity there. There's no long-term spiritual blessing and happiness when we cover our sins and are not willing to confess and admit and forsake those things, repent of them, turn from them. That's knowing God's blessings. Then verse 14. Happy is the man that feareth alway. The idea there of the word fear is in Hebrew, there's several words for it, but this particular one is to stand in awe of, to be reverential toward. I tell you, if there's ever a day of irreverence to the things of God, it's today. If there's ever a day of complacency and apathy toward the things of God, it's today, our society. God and worship is just no big deal, and we've got the come as we are mentality and do what we want mentality, and church doesn't matter, I'm just going to do what I want, and who cares? And it's a totally different mindset than we had even years ago, that where God was respected and worshiping the Lord in His house was something of reverence, where we would stand in awe of Him. But our society and culture today is one of just a flippant attitude. We don't fear alway, and we think that somehow we can be happy and prosperous by not fearing God. But happy is that man that feareth alway. That is a continual fear and trust of the Lord. But he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. We live in a day, of course, of hardened hearts against the things of God. They're not hearts that are standing in awe and willing to be softened to come underneath the authority of God. But we're going to be hardened in our hearts to react to that authority in an aggressive way and do what we want to do, and think somehow we can work our own happiness and our own prosperity out. Fearing the Lord brings happiness. Teaching our young people and our children that God has given us to learn, to teach them as well to fear the Lord. You know, maybe my parents were old fuddy-duddies or something people today would call them. But I'm going to tell you right now, it was a lot of things. We didn't lay our Bible on the floor in church. I know that's probably a little dinky thing, but buddy, my mom and dad would about rip me off the pew if I just dropped my Bible or just threw it down. If I walked in and just threw the Bible down, oh, I'd get it. They say, oh, that's nothing, it's just a book. I know it is. My parents kind of put in me that we're gonna reverence. That idea of reverence. I know it's a book, and I know it's made out of paper, but my parents wanted me to know this is different than the other books. This is a special book. And so we were very careful, and I guess I'm kind of OCD about it. When I have the Bible on my desk, I don't put books on top of it. Boy, I'm weird. I know I'm not trying to worship a book made out of paper. Don't get me wrong. But there's just something about respecting it. It's God's Word. Yes, it's made out of a cow hide and some paper from a tree and some ink and all that. But you know what? It's God's Word and the Bible. That's what it is. My parents taught me to be reverent with those things. And so we were careful. We didn't come in and just slap our Bible on the pew under the floor and think it was not a big deal. And no, we were very careful with that. And I know that can be legalistic or whatever. I don't want to get into all that, but that's just what I was taught. And that helped me learn, you know what, that there's something better than me out there. There's a God out there that I've got to honor and revere because He's bigger than me and He created me. And I'm going to respect the word that He's given to me. We don't have that mentality in our homes much anymore in our society. Of course, the Bible just kind of thrown around and they pull it out every now and then when they go to church on Easter and Christmas or something. And then it's just back to old living. And reverence for God's Word, fearing always in everything, will bring a prosperity and a happiness to our heart, but it's a spiritual one, not a physical, materialistic mentality. So to revere, reverence, to stand in awe of God. You know, if you ever stop and think about, you know, you ever been reading the Bible and you realize that the Lord just, sometimes He'll work in my heart when I'm reading and I'll say, phew, God sure is incredibly great. And I sure am incredibly puny. That ever kind of hits you when you read God's Word sometimes? Is it the kind where you just want to hide under your desk somewhere and think, why in the world, Lord, am I even breathing right now? You know, God has a way of showing us Himself in a way that makes us stand in awe. And we fear Him. And we revere Him and have reverence for Him. And that affects the way we live. That affects our mindset. That affects our life in such a way that we can be spiritually happy, prosperous, and going on with our Lord. One more tonight, just right there in chapter 29, right across the page, probably in your Bible. Chapter 29, verse number 18. Very familiar verse. We all like to read the first part of that verse. It's quoted many times. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We all know that part, but look at the end. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. To protect and preserve instruction is the idea there. The laws that come from instruction. In other words, to keep what is right to do. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I used to get so frustrated when kids like to ask the why questions. You know, well, son, we're not going to do this, or daughter, we're not going to do this. Why? My mom would always say sometimes, because I said so. Boy, I got to know why. Well, sometimes we don't have to know why. We'll figure that out later. But sometimes I tell even the students at school, why do we do this? Because it's what's right to do. It's that simple. And where does the right to do come from? This. It's where it comes from. And so we have got to be a people that keep the law, to keep the instruction. I'm not talking about some legalistic rituals of keeping some law. No, it's the instruction of God's Word. If I don't keep it, I'm not going to be happy spiritually. Not going to be prosperous spiritually. Boy, do we not live in a day of lawlessness? If people don't care about what's right and what instruction says and what law comes from instruction. People just do what they want to do. And, you know, this crazy stuff going on in Charlotte, you know, rioting and standing in the roads and killing people and sending people to the hospital. And it's lawlessness because we have lost a vision and we're perishing because we've decided not to keep the instruction of the Bible. Is our nation going to be happy and prosperous and successful spiritually? No. We've discarded all that. We've put in our own law, and the law of myself is in charge. The law of what I want to do is in charge. And that's a law of chaos. When people do that which is right in their own eyes. No leadership, no vision, no instruction that comes from the law. The Lord wants us again to honor His Word and to gain instruction and allow the wisdom to apply that instruction and knowledge. That is spiritual happiness. That is spiritual success. And you say, well, I'm poor and people think I'm not successful. That doesn't matter. Again, get this notion of what we own and materialism. That's the world's definition. Get that out of your mind. What about spiritually? What's our spiritual heavenly prosperity if there's such a thing as that? What is it? What are we doing for the Lord? What spiritual success and happiness do I have? You know, I could be the poorest person on earth and be spiritually happy and spiritually blessed. And God will put a song in your heart. And you can enjoy the Christian life and love the Lord and walk with Him. And boy, there's no greater happiness. But when we get our own ideas and the materialism and the things of the world kind of vying for those things, we've got a wrong view of happiness, misplaced value. So let's find the biblical, spiritual happiness from doing what's right, from being humble, from following God's wisdom. You want to have a happy life spiritually? Then follow the ways of our great God that He has blessed us with, that we can revere and honor. Father, I just thank You for this time tonight, just very briefly to look at these passages from Your Word. And I pray that You would give us a spiritually happy, blessed, and prosperous life in which we understand and revere You for who You are, the great Creator, to fear You always, to keep instruction, to keep wisdom and standard of right, Lord. So bless us in this, that we can know true happiness in our hearts, despite what goes on around us and what the world would say and then the things that often can discourage us, Lord, but that we would stay focused on You at these times. Now bless now the rest of our service and our prayer time, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.